Good afternoon. You're here with Bike Sport Radio, where we talk about bike racing, bike racers, and what you need to race bikes. Today's Monday, July 26th, 12 noon, broadcasting live from our studios in downtown Los Angeles. Today we've got the Masters Cycle League race report and finals results for Northern Cal as well as Southern California. Also, race results from Ontario Grand Prix, the U.S. Cup mountain bike results as well, and some cool interviews from other races we've attended, including the Colavita Northern Cal Grand Prix with interviews with Team Safeway winners. They were the winners of the Masters Cycle League. Lots of race sounds from Colavita Grand Prix as well as San Marcos Criterium. Got an interview with one of the volunteers from the MS-150 Waves to Wine ride coming up in Northern Cal. Anywhere Bike Repair, also, they were supporting one of the local events last weekend. And special guest in the studio, also, Stephen Messer from Corba. We'll be talking about trail advocacy later. So let's go to some race results. And actually, we've got a race report from the Masters Cycle League. We just finished up. The 2010 Masters Cycle League in Northern Cal was won by Team Safeway, Pure Red, and that was at the finals at the Colavita Grand Prix. We'll have an interview with them later. And then Southern California's MCL was won in an exciting race by the Amgen UBS Elite Masters team down at San Marcos with some breakaway action, and it was really cool for second place. Second place team, the lead changed from Shoer Sonnens and California Pools DeWalt, which made the breakaway, scored enough points to move them into second place overall in the Southern California Masters Cycle League. More details on full Masters Cycle League results at masterscycleleague.com. So let's do some results from San Marcos Criterium as well as Big Bear mountain bike results also coming up at you.
Miranda, second place Kelly Campbell, and your winner from Texas A&M, Eric Johnson. Category 4s in third place, Velo Avanti's Alex Achtkel. Second place going to Ryan Schneider, and your winner from Coates Cyclery Racing, David Robertson. In the Masters 60-plus, third place, South Bay Women's Bruce Steele. Second place, Aqua Isle Dewey's Don Kimper. And your winner was Paramount Racing's James Morehouse. Masters 55s, third place, Swami Cycling's Michael Burdett. And UC Cycle Jada with Flooring Sweep of first and second. Second place winner, Michael Mueller. And your winner, Cal Zalak. Junior men's 17-18. Your winner was Miles Ludi. Masters 45s, third place. Back Abbey Coates Elite Masters team, John Nist, picking up third. B&L Bikes, Rhett Clare, second. Amgen UBS Elite Masters, Richard Meeker, picking up the win. In the juniors 10 through 12, your winner from SC Velo was Daniel Willett. Junior women, 15-18, Tiana Rowe picked up that win. Junior men's 13-14, third place going to International Christian Cycling Club's Quentin Kirby. Second place, Ironfly's Diego Benatina, and your winner from GS Adams Avenue Bicycles, Efren Flores. In the women's category 3s and 4s, third place, Team Dude Girls' Cindy Morgan. Second place going to Carolina Flyers' Rip Nicholson. And your winner from Swami's, Leah Balamy. Women's juniors, ages 10 through 14, third place, Aqua Isle Dewey's Courtney Comer. Second place going to Jet Cycling's Amelia Tanner, and your winner was Hannah Swan. In the men's category 3, Mickey Pandola picking up third place for Team Helens. Major Motion Cycling's Ben Berninger second, and your winner, Anthony Canavari. And in the junior men's 15-16, third place, Shoer Sonnens' Jeffrey Curran. Second place, SC Velo's Anthony Fitch. And your winner from Encino Velo Cycling Club, Scott Cohen. Masters 35-plus and MCL picking up 8th place, Shoer Sonnens' Eben Benatti. 7th place, going to California Pools DeWalt's Andy Brown. 6th place, Amgen UBS Elite Masters' Gil Correa. 5th place, also California Pools DeWalt, Andrew Wilson. 4th place, Ironfly's Kevin Phillips. 3rd place, California Pools DeWalt, James Stark. 2nd place, Amgen UBS Elite Masters, Michael Johnson. And your winner, Amgen UBS Elite Masters, Chris DeMarkey. race results for the Ontario Grand Prix Criterium in the men's pros, category 1s and 2s. Rounding out the podium with third place from SoCal Cycling, Julio Molinido. Second place, Team Possibilities, Gary Fisher Subaru's Brian McCulloch. And your winner from Amgen UBS Elite Masters, Michael Johnson. In the Ontario Grand Prix Pro Women's, rounding out the podium, Joy Dirksen, picking up third place from Team Possibilities. And Paramount Racing, doing a 1-2, first and second. Second place, Diana Delfonte, and your winner, Tammy Wildgoose. In the Amateurs Category 3, Ontario, your winner from Major Motion, Alexander Von Ruiz. Junior men's 10-12, picking up the win was Matthew Lai, riding for Velo Avanti. Junior men's 13-14, Diego Benatina for Ironfly picked up that win. In the junior men's 15-16, picking up third place, Dominic Galenti from SC Velo. Second place going to Cycle World's Eric Velotsky. And your winner from Encino Velo, Daniel Koskoth. Junior women's 17-18, Alexander Von Reyes from Major Motion picked up that win. Junior women's 10-14, Amelia Tanner, riding for Jet Tanner, was your winner. Junior women's 15-16, Tara McCormick picking up the win from Helen's Cannondale. In the Masters 45s, Frank Schroeder, riding for Schroeder Iron Elite Masters, was your winner. And in the beginner women's category 4, rounding out the podium from Ironfly, third place, Mel Phillips. Second place going to Team Cycles, Lisa Crow, and your winner, Holly Breck. All right, mountain bike racing. The U.S. Cup West Series took place in Big Bear with the Big Bear Shootout number 3. This is a Kenda Cup qualifier. And in the pro men's cross country, picking up that win, Shower Sonnens' Vincent Lombardi. The category 1 men's 17-18 year olds, Ryan Odell picking up that win, riding for Gary Fisher. Category 1 men's 30-34, Marco Arocha riding for Shower Sonnens picked up that win. And in the Category 1 men ages 40-44, riding for Bear Valley Bikes, Jay Hammond was your winner out of Victorville. Category 1 men's 50-54, riding for Platinum Performance, Bobby Langan Sr. picked up that win. In the junior men ages 14 and under, Category 2, Christian Husband was your winner. Junior men's 15-16, Garrett Gaither was your win. Seth Gilham picked up the win in the junior men's 19-24 category 2s. Category 2 men's 40-44, Derek Swinfart from Monster Media was your winner. In the category 2 men's 55-59, riding for Bike Palace, back on track, James Riley picked up that win. And in the pro women, your winner was Heather Renoa, riding for SoCal Endurance. Category 1 women's 19-29 from Platinum Performance, Amanda Schaefer. And your winner in the category 1 women's 30-39, Liz Carrington. That was Team Big Bear's Big Bear Shootout number 3 cross country mountain bike results.
Hey, Brad, nice to see you.
Hey, Jen.
Wow, this looks like a new little system on the back of your truck. What's up with this rack here?
Yes, it is. That is the Rackster Duopod. Holds 2 bikes.
That's fantastic. And what's so special about this rack that's different from others?
Ah, well, it's nice and low, so you don't have to lift it up real high. You're still using one of those roof racks?
I am, and I'm going to tell you, I get so tired of putting my bikes on top of my car, and I've heard nightmare stories about my friends running into their garage and blowing up their forks and stuff because they forget that their bike's on top of their car.
Yes, that'll never happen with a Rackster rack.
Now, I'm kind of a low-budget bike racer. What's the price range for these things?
Ah, this is the Duopod. It's only $269.99. How about that?
That's good. Now, sometimes I need more than just two bikes. I sometimes travel with some in my car. Do they have something more than just the Duopod?
No problem. The Rackster Thorax holds three bikes, same concept as the Rackster Duopod, and it's only $449.
Wow, I got to tell you, I really like this. Where can I get one?
Well, you'll also like it because of its lightweight. The rack itself is light because it's got composite materials in the swing arms, and you can get them in Southern California at dealers in Poway, Irvine, Costa Mesa.
Great. I live in Northern California. Is there a complete list of dealers that I can find where the Rackster is?
Yes, there is. You can find more dealers at RacksterRacks.com. That's R-A-X-T-E-R, Racks, R-A-C-K-S.com.
Wow, Brad. Thanks so much. I can't wait to get one. Nice rack.
Thanks, Jen.
All right, Rackster Racks. We'd like to welcome Rackster Racks also to the Urban Cyclocross this year. They've just jumped on board as a new sponsor. So, upcoming events, we've got track racing. As a spectator, I can't emphasize enough, you got to come out and see track racing. Velodrome Racing is no brakes racing. That's coming up on August 14th, again, at the Home Depot Center in Carson, California. The Upgrade and Experience Builder races for men's Category 3, 4s, and 5s, women's Category 3s and 4s, and juniors as well, Omnium Racing. That's coming up August 14th. For more details, check out lavelodrome.org. That's in Southern California. If you live in Northern California, anywhere near San Jose, check out the Hellyer Park Friday night track racing. Free spectating, free food and beverages. Their next race is coming up on August 27th. That's Friday night track racing at the Hellyer Park Velodrome in San Jose. Don't want to miss that. Again, free spectating and free food and beverages. Details and maps and locations at RideTheTrack.com. Hellyer Park Velodrome. All right, coming up in August for off-road racing, the Rim Nordic Mountain Bike Series continues on August 14th, Super D Racing, and on August 15th, Cross Country Racing. This is event number 3 in a 4-event series. That's Rim Nordic, brought to you by Rim Nordic Mountain Biking. Visit rimnordic.com for all the details on those races. And in Southern California, in Brentwood, the Raymond Fouquet Brentwood Grand Prix on Sunday, August 8th. And that's produced by Velo Club Lagrange Westwood and sponsored by Helen Cycles. And they've got neighborhood kids races, a whole family-friendly expo area. And you don't want to miss that. Pro racing, pro men's racing goes on at 2:50. With multiple categories throughout the day earlier. Visit BrentwoodGrandPrix.com for details on that. So bike racing is all about bike racing. Actually, Bike Sport Radio is all about bike racing and bike racers and what you need to race bikes. And once in a while, we have an in-studio guest. Let's get our mic up here. Today's special guest we've got from Corba. And it's Stephen Messer. How you doing, Stephen?
Pretty good. I'm good to be here.
All right. Thanks for coming in and taking time out of your busy schedule from this great advocate group called CORBA, the Concerned Off-Road Bicycle Association. And tell us a little bit about CORBA. What is CORBA exactly?
Well, CORBA stands for the Concerned Off-Road Bicyclists Association, and we've been around since the mid to late 80s, 87, working to ensure that mountain bikes have access to local trails, doing things like keeping the trails open through trail work, establishing relationships with land managers across the area, promoting sustainable use of trails and safe and healthy fun activity. This is, mountain biking is a lifelong sport, and we support every aspect of it.
Okay, 1987. That's been a while. And where is CORBA operating and active most right now?
Well, CORBA is all volunteer run, and the volunteer board of directors, of which I'm a member, are spread out between Ventura and Los Angeles County. So that's pretty much where we operate and where we cover.
All right. Very good. And CORBA is related to IMBA, apparently. IMBA is what? And tell us about the relationship there.
Well, IMBA is the International Mountain Biking Association, which is very active on the national level and international level, working with in Washington, D.C. and other state capitals, doing what we're doing locally on the national level. But back when Corba started in the mid-80s, people were realizing that mountain bikes were a new sport, or even though mountain biking itself has a long history. People were riding off-road for many, many years, but mountain biking as a sport has been developed in the last 30 years. When Corba was formed in 87, the people who formed it realized pretty quickly that this is not a unique problem that we're facing. The problem back then was having trails closed to mountain bikes because land managers didn't know how to deal with bicycles, and it wasn't a user group that had been considered when making decisions about trail allocations. And the people who founded Corba got together with some other groups from around California. There were five clubs initially, and they decided to get together and start a national organization, which became IMBA. So the founders of Corba went on to found IMBA, and that's where it started. That's where advocacy began, is here in California.
Wow. Well, they say mimicry is the finest form of flattery, so Corba must have done something right to instigate a formation of an international group patterning itself after Corba. That's wonderful.
Well, that says a lot just to the common challenges we face as mountain bikers, and they're not unique to Southern California, although this is a hotbed because of the number of users we have and the limited amount of space. The limited amount of open space in this area necessitates us being represented and getting out there and being in front of the land managers and being seen and being heard.
Right. So that's what makes advocacy important, then, is because of the decisions that are being made. You got to be out there and in front of them, huh?
Yeah, advocacy is where what it comes down to, because we're in a large city here in Los Angeles, and there's not a lot of open space. The Angeles National Forest is the most heavily used national forest in the country. And when you have limited resource like open space and lots of people who want to use it, there's always going to be pressure on how that land is managed and how it's allocated. It needs to be managed to be sustained for future generations. But if there are no mountain bikers showing up to the meetings and meeting with the land managers, those decisions are going to be made in our absence, not in our presence, and we won't be considered. So advocacy comes down to being seen, being heard, being responsible, and being a part of the trail user community. And not only do we have to share trails with other user groups, like hikers and equestrians are the two that come to mind, and they're the three biggest user groups, but also with the natural resources, with wildlife. We've got to be out there, and a lot of people don't consider that, but we're sharing trails with nature and with each other. And Corba's always been very proactive in its advocating multi-use trails, shared-use trails that we can all enjoy.
All right. Well, those are wonderful things. So you riders out there, Bike Sport Radio is about bike racers, bike racing, what you need to race bikes. If you race cross-country mountain bike or ride off-road, you're certainly going to need trails, and you really should consider getting involved with Corba. Or if you're not local, your local advocate group as well, and consider doing trail work and all of these other wonderful things that you can do to help out your advocate group. Like, tell us about some of the programs that Corba operates, Steve.
Well, Corba has a very active trail crew. We've done, in the last month, we've had four trail work days, put in over 500 person hours of volunteer trail maintenance. Been working up in the station area with the station fire area in the Angeles National Forest, working on trails that have been technically closed to the public, but we've been out there getting them ready for when the forest is opened. We'll be able to go back to trails that are in reasonable shape and good enough condition to be open to the public and be considered safe.
And the station fire, for those of you listeners that may not know, that's in where? That happened
the
where?
The station fire happened last year in August, and it was one of the largest fires that we've had in the area. And as a result of that, the Angeles National Forest has been under a closure order since, I think it was August last year.
So yeah, it's been a while. I think 38 is closed. Highway 38 is closed for repairs due to storm damage. That may have had something to do with the fire too. But
highway,
you can't even ride your road bike up there either.
Yeah, Highway 2 actually.
Highway 2, yeah.
Between La Crescenta and Red Box, which is a really common training run for road cyclists. I ride road and mountain. And that was one of my favorite things to do, was to get up to Red Box and back as a quick climb and out. But the Caltrans right now is saying that that's going to be closed at least until November, which is better than the initial estimates that we got, which were for up to 2 years of closure.
Whoa. Wow. So what's the situation right now then with the station fire and the closures? Have some of the trails reopened, or there's still a lot of work to do, I guess?
Some areas have been opened up, but the area around the Chileo campground and Charlton Flats, the Silver Moccasin Trail is open. Mount Hillier is open, but there's a lot of trails that have yet to be opened and a lot of areas that won't be opened for quite some time. A favorite ride of a lot of mountain bikers is the Arroyo Canyon, which is the Gabrielino Trail down from Red Box to JPL, and that was actually where the fire started. So it suffered the most damage, not so much from the fire, but from the subsequent storms. Whenever you have a fire that strips away the vegetation, and followed by an El Nino-powered storm, the amount of erosion that you get is devastating, and that's what's happened to the two freeway or the two highway, and to the Gabrielino Trail. That's one trail that we haven't been able to get up and survey yet, and we don't expect to for another couple of years before they open that canyon up.
Wow. Yeah, those of you that don't know the Gabrielino Trail, there's some awesome views and some waterfalls, and it's really an awesome downhill. You can ride up one of the other access fire roads and then come back down the Gabrielino. It's almost a two-hour descent, I think. That's if you're good.
Yeah, it is.
If you're not, it takes longer, but it's an awesome downhill all the way down into, I believe, the JPL area in Pasadena is where it ends, and I love that trail, and that's sorry to hear it's not open yet, so...
Yeah, the Gabrielino Trail itself is a national recreation trail that starts in Chantry Flat and climbs up to Newcomb's Saddle and across to Red Box and comes down the Arroyo to JPL. And most of it is still closed. The Forest Service, at the last meeting I had with them this past week, they're expecting to open more of the forest by Labor Day. Now, how much of that gets opened, we don't know, but we're doing what we can to get the trails in the shape where they can be opened.
Okay, that's great. A lot of hard work by CORBA, the Concerned Off-Road Bicycle Association. And you're listening to Kill Radio here. Give us a call if you want to chat with Stephen Messer on the CORBA Board of Directors. Our phone number is 213-252-0998, and we'll be right back.
Bike racing, the world's toughest sport. Imagine listening to the radio on Monday to hear the weekend's race news, or having a chance to call in and chat with an expert about our sport. Well, imagine no more. We are Bike Sport Radio. Tune in to KILL Radio for reports on the weekend's local race action and results. Hear how local clubs or teams are doing, or call in and chat with a guest speaker about the sport or some of its many products used. We cover road, mountain bike, cyclocross, and track cycling in Southern California, and are giving our fast-growing sport yet another media boost. Our studio is big enough for guests, and we have hosted a few notable ones. If you would like to be an in-studio guest, contact us. You can listen to Bike Sport Radio live or listen to an archive show at radioforall.net. Please donate at any level to us through the Kill Radio online link at www.killradio.org or support Bike Sport Radio by linking us to your websites. Thanks for listening to Bike Sport Radio.
All right, you're here with Bike Sport Radio on Monday, July 26th, and we're talking about advocacy, the importance of advocacy, and that's for both road and off-road. And a little more about advocacy, Stephen?
Well, a wise man once said, and that wise man happened to be one of the founders of CORBA, who went on to be the president of IMBA, that advocacy starts with having 20-20-20. Now, maybe with inflation that's gone up a bit, but 20 hours of volunteer work giving back to the local trails, $20 for your local advocacy group and $20 for your national advocacy group. And that's a good way to give back to the sport that gives you so much. And it applies to road cycling, to mountain biking, and just about anything that you're passionate about. There's always a way to give back to it.
Yeah, you're certainly a passionate cyclist. I see your bike here in the studio. You rode on the road over here, and so you do both. I know there are those who would never do both. Some do one or the other avidly, but I also do both, ride road and off-road. So good
one
job,
thing I
and
like
nice
to
dedication
do,
there.
One thing I like to do is actually ride to the trails. I live in the Eagle Rock area, so I'm within a half-hour ride of most of the trailheads that I ride.
And you lucky guy.
It's a nice thing to have access to without having to drive.
Very lucky. Eagle Rock. All right. Some of the other programs that CORBA operates, tell us a little bit about them. Maybe the youth program.
I already mentioned our trail crew. We also have a youth adventures program where we have a trailer full of bikes, and every couple of weeks we have a group of kids come out from either inner-city neighborhoods or church groups or at-risk youth of some kind, and we get them out in the wilderness, into the mountains, put them on bikes and show them a sport and a way of being out in nature that they may not have considered or been exposed to previously, and it's a great way to bring kids out into the forest and actually have them experience the forest doing something enjoyable. Sometimes if you take them out for a hike, they get bored and they're not into it. But put them on a bike and they're having fun, and that's great to see. It makes a difference.
That's awesome. These guys, so some of these kids have never been in the woods, and they've just been in the city all their life, huh?
A lot of them, yeah. A lot of them, this is their first experience on a bike on dirt, and a lot of them, it really changes their outlook on things. We like to see that.
Right. Have you participated in the youth programs and helped out, or what kind of rides have you done lately?
Well, I just came back from the Mountain Bike Nationals in Granby, Colorado, and that was quite an experience. I wasn't racing. I was just there for support and for the atmosphere and to watch my friends, and that was really encouraging to see, and to see the younger groups coming up and the younger age groups. It's where it's at. Right now in Southern California, there's the SoCalDirt.org, the SoCal High School Mountain Bike League, and CORBA just made a donation to them and a commitment to be at all of the events for next year. So
nice.
We'll be out there helping out in whatever way we can and helping promote responsible trail use amongst the kids.
Hitting up the youth early so you get that ingrained in their brains, how important it is to round out the riding with advocate issues. Yeah, Matt Gunnell and Quinton, they've done a fine job with this league in Southern California, patterned after Northern California's mountain bike leagues. I sure wish they had them when I was back in high school, mountain bike leagues. I mean, I rode a BMX bike. I used to ride a BMX bike up and down the trails all the time. And that's, for those of you that don't know, that's equivalent of a single speed. And I'd sprint up the hills from hill to hill, and nobody else could keep up with me. But that was years before mountain bikes were even around. And if they had high school mountain bike leagues back in the day, I'd probably still be in high school, actually.
Yeah, the most exciting thing about that is that they've had tremendous growth. In their second year, they had 200 races. In their first year, they had 100 races, and they're looking to bring in several new teams for next season as well. In Northern California, they had over 505 registered races last year, high school races. And Marin County, every high school in Marin County had its own team, which is a goal that I think we would love to see here. But with things like the city's attitude, the city of LA's attitude to mountain bikes and bicycles on dirt in general, it's going to be a tough thing to pull off.
Yeah, the city of Los Angeles, let's beat on them a little bit, you know, beat on the brat with the baseball bat. Okay. The city of Los Angeles has a master bike plan for bicycle use throughout the city. One of the things that's always irked me is that the city has actually had an ordinance about city parks, that bicycles aren't allowed in parks. Are they out of their freaking mind? What more appropriate place to use a bicycle than in a park? So, but I understand the latest, the city bike plan's under revision right now, and the latest draft in Chapter 3, there was an off-road component. It was removed from the latest city bike plan. What's up with that?
Well, the first draft that they put out had all of the mountain bike components of the plan lumped together into Chapter 3, in much to the disdain of a lot of the user groups that don't like mountain bikes, like the equestrians and some of the hikers. And that has been actually removed from the current draft of the plan, and the components that were in that section have been spread out into other parts of the plan. So it isn't entirely gone, but it isn't as obvious. So I guess you could call it a win for the people against mountain biking, because they got their Chapter 3 taken out, which is what they wanted. But we win too, because there's still things in there for us.
Okay, but it appears to be a kinder and gentler plan towards the end.
It does, but we don't get anything out of it immediately. What they're calling for in the current draft of the plan is a 5-year study process to determine the need for mountain biking trails, which is kind of ridiculous, because in 1996 they determined that mountain biking was growing, a growing need existed for trails for mountain biking, and now they want to study it. But at least in the presentation that they've got in the current draft, they've actually assigned agencies to it and given it a time frame. What they haven't done is given it a budget or given it any oversight. So for the road components, they're proposing a committee to coordinate different city departments to make sure that they're talking to each other and making sure that things are happening. That doesn't exist in the city plan for off-road cycling at the moment. So that's one thing we're going to push for, is the addition of an oversight committee and budgeting for these studies. And also for the
checks and balances and accountability, yeah, because we don't want to have what happened with other studies that the city does, such as those of you that are listen to Bike Talk, Sharrows. I don't know if you remember Sharrows. The city was avid about studying Sharrows for years and years and years, and when they finally did put them down, there's some controversy with the way they've done them, actually. So.
Yeah, they do drag their heels on a lot of things. It's a lot of planning and a lot of talking and not a lot of action. And the same goes with mountain biking. It was 1996 that they determined there was a growing need, and studies have shown that mountain biking is increasing. Equestrian use is vastly decreasing as we move to a more urban environment, a more urban society within Los Angeles. And the proportion of mountain bikers to equestrians is certainly on the rise, and we're not being accommodated. And yet, last week I was at a meeting with the county of Los Angeles. They're also updating their trail manual, and for one of the things they mentioned in their presentation was that they're using city data showing that trails actually is where you get the most bang for your recreational buck. So the more trails, the more value you have for recreational use of open space. And yet the city doesn't want to open it up to this group. And for me, if I was a kid, the first place I'd want to go to is a park or or some dirt. I don't want to be riding around cars or sidewalks or things like that. So we're hoping.
Well, maybe the county will smack the city upside the head a little bit with this, using their own data, using their own testimony against them, basically, that the usage is valid and legitimate. So,
well, yeah, it's going to be interesting when they get to areas with county trails. Now, the county has a multi-use policy, so county trails, unless there's a safety or engineering reason why it can't be, but county trails are multi-use. And yet county trails, there's a lot of places like up in Chatsworth in the Northern Valley where county property abuts city property. And what's going to happen when you have to go through city property, which is not multi-use, to get to a multi-use trail? So there's going to be some challenges ahead for them to coordinate. On the road, they've done that already. Up in La Crescenta, the county... the county put in a bike lane on Foothill Boulevard, and the only way the county would commit to doing that is if the city of Glendale on one side agreed to extend that bike lane and the city of LA agreed to extend it on the other. So there was coordination between the cities, and that's something we don't see happening here with the LA bike plan for off-road cycling. It actually recommends that people leave the city and go to the Santa Monica Mountains or the San Gabriels to do their mountain biking instead of serving the people who need it most, the people in the city, the people who don't have access to cars and a public transport system that doesn't really get to the foothills that easily, especially with a bicycle. We'd like to see, you know, trails available in some open space or some form within the city limits. Griffith Park is the obvious center of that, but that's long been the stronghold of the equestrian community. It's and a historic one. They've had it for a long time, but that use is changing, and we'd like to see change.
Well, it sounds like Corb is doing a fabulous job of trying to coordinate and force cooperation and coordination between the various municipalities out there to get more trail access. So let's hope Corb keeps up the great work. Corb needs funding to do this work. So Corb does have membership and events as well. I think the biggest event is the Fat Tire Festival for fundraising. Tell us a little bit about the Fat Tire Festival.
Well, that is our biggest event. It's where most of our operating budget comes from for the year. The Fat Tire Fest this year will be on October 17th at Castaic Lake. And it's an all-day affair. It's a fun family affair. It's a non-competitive environment where we have different rides and different raffles and skills events. We have a skills class and beginner, intermediate, and advanced rides. We also usually have guest celebrities come along, and last year we had some really incredible people come out to the event as the guest celebrities.
Yeah, Sid Taberlay of Show Air Sonnets, Brian Lopes of Infamous Fame, everybody knows Brian Lopes, and what I like to call the godfather of cross-country mountain biking and the first ever world champion in cross-country mountain biking, Ned Overeen, Deadly Nedley. He was there, too.
He was there, too, and I had the privilege of riding along with the three of them and just enjoying being in their company. So every year we've had celebrities of some kind, and the great thing is it's not an us and them. They ride with the group, and people can talk to them and sign autographs, ask questions. In the past, we've also had Tinker Juarez and Marla Streb, Kathy Pruitt, who just last week at the Nationals had a really bad fall, and thoughts go out to her. She just got out of the ICU days ago, but she at the Nationals she cracked a few ribs and injured a shoulder, and I don't know the extent of her injuries, but she's out of the hospital, which we're really happy to hear.
Yeah, that's good. And as the exceptional athlete she is, I'm sure she'll bounce back amazingly quick and just utterly shock her doctors. So let's hope for that.
But the celebrities are just one part of it. It's more about the people. And we expect over 500 people. But this year we're doing something a little bit different that we haven't done before. And that's to add a cyclocross component. And I think you can tell us a little bit more about that.
Cyclocross, yeah, sometimes called psychocross. That's been a hugely growing sport in Southern California. Yeah, back in 1992? Yeah, I guess I have to toot my own horn here. Back in 1992 was when I actually formed my company, Back on Track Productions, and, quote, saved cyclocross, which was like a dead sport, basically, in Southern California. Nobody did cyclocross in Southern California. And through the creation of Back on Track Productions and the Urban Cyclocross Series, right in the city, we brought back cyclocross and grew it from the smoldering ashes that were left after the 80s and grew it into a SoCal Cyclocross Series and founded the SoCal Cyclocross Series in conjunction with a number of other promoters as well and grew the series Southern California-wide. And now there are other people out there imitating the series as well, the Urban Cyclocross Series being the original cyclocross series in Southern California. Yeah, we've added a Urban Cyclocross, I think it's event number 2 in the series, to the Corba Fat Tire Festival. And that's a chance for people to kind of get a feel for racing. It's not cross-country mountain biking, but it is off-road. For the most part, the courses are flat. You do have to get off and on your bike. You have to get off your bike to jump over obstacles and barriers. It's a European sport that was basically developed in France when it was so cold that they got off their bikes and tapped their toes a little bit and then jumped back on their bikes in the wintertime. And the next thing you know, they decided to set up a circuit and say, hey, you have to get off your bike here, here, and here so your toes don't get numb. And all of a sudden, the roadies birthed a new sport called cyclocross. Worlds are coming to the United States in Kentucky. I don't know what year. I think it's 2012. The cyclocross worlds are going to be here. And the cyclocross nationals are on the West Coast this year in Bend, Oregon. So cyclocross is growing. You can use a mountain bike. There are youth races at the Urban Cyclocross, and it's really a fun time. It's also spectator-friendly because it's a short course where the riders do multiple laps. So you don't just have a group disappear into the woods and then come back 2 hours later and, oh, hey, how'd you do? I don't know, 14th. No, they go around and around and around. You get to cheer them. Bells are ringing, whistles blowing, people yelling, and it's really cool. So we've had... in the past, we've had celebrities race at our cyclocross, too. The Urban Cyclocross has hosted Tinker Juarez himself and Brian Lopes, Johnny O'Mara, Ned Overend, Tony Cruz of the BMC team. We've had a number of top athletes, so it should be fun.
There is a lot of crossover, and that's why we're excited to have this new component to the Corba Fat Tire Fest. It's going to bring those who are on the verge of wanting to ride mountain bikes but still not quite there a chance to experience riding in the dirt and being around a mountain biking environment. And it's also going to give mountain bikers exposure to something new, another take on sport of cycling, because we're all on two wheels, and it doesn't matter whether you're on the road or on the trail or on a cyclocross course, on a race course, on a downhill run. If you're on a bike, you're having fun, and that's what it's all about.
That's right. If you're on two wheels, you're happy, and we don't care if you're on the road or off the road. So cyclocross is a chance to bring them together. Triathletes, too, because there's some running involved, so even the triathletes get involved as well. And this is also a wonderful opportunity for Corba to capture a whole new membership base as well from the roadie and the cyclocross group out there who may not know about Corba. So we'll be educating you guys at the Urban Cyclocross about what Corba is all about.
So something that's going to be different from the other events that Back on Track Productions puts together is that we're going to have this whole large festival atmosphere with a big raffle, and there's going to be food and opportunities.
Yeah,
the raffle is incredible. We give away on average about 6 complete bikes and a couple of frame kits and tens of thousands of dollars of donated merchandise.
Yeah.
Already we have signed on for sponsorship. We have REI and Specialized Mountain Bike Action and a Bike Magazine are all signed on. In the past, we've also had demo bikes from Specialized and Trek and Cannondale and Giant and Bionicon and Niner and other companies as well, and we expect all of them to come back as well. So it's a good chance to not only get out and ride, but you can also jump on a demo bike and see what else is out there, what should be on your Christmas wish list.
That's right. And if you're from out of town, book your hotel early if you want to stay out there in Castaic. It's a small town, and you don't want to miss this. Your entry fee, we'll talk about where the entry fees go and the importance of that for helping out Corba, but the raffle is just so freaking awesome that you're likely to walk away with something that you won from the raffle that's at least valued at your entry fee anyways. I mean, I don't know what I got once. The only time I ever went, I think I got a $75 toolkit from Ice Tools or something in one of the raffles. And a friend of mine that went with me got a bike. And we're like, wow, how cool is this? So, yeah, Fat Tire Festival. We find out more at Fat Tire Fest, or what's it?
FatTireFest.com. And that website will go live on August 1st, which is just around the bend, when we open for registration. So you'll be able to register online. You'll be able to make a donation by your entry into the event, and also register for the cyclocross, the new cyclocross component that we're adding for this year.
Right, and the details on the cyclocross, when they're available, will come up on SoCalCyclocross.org, SoCalCyclocross.org. And this is an important fundraiser for Corba. We need you out there. We need you to come out there and donate to Corba. You get lunch, too, I understand, right?
Yes, and, you get lunch. And there's all sorts of fun things, too, for kids. We have a whole little skills area set up with wooden ramps for kids to jump off, even 40-year-old kids. And they have more fun than the 5-year-olds sometimes. But we have that going on, and there's a limbo contest. And last year we had a fashion show. And
limbo contest, that's fun. I don't know how I did it, but I actually won one of those once at somebody else's Fat Tire Fest. I think it was Kernville, but I'm 6'1". Now, bike limbo, I don't know how I did it, but I think I borrowed a tiny bike, and I think I even took her saddle off the bike, and somehow I won that once. But yeah, the limbo contest is awesome to watch too.
Yeah, so it's just a fun atmosphere and a great day. So we'd encourage everyone to come out. It's October 17th. It's Castaic Lake. It's about a 45-minute drive north of downtown, and it's well worth it.
It's well worth getting out of town. You won't want to come home. FatTireFest.com. The funds are important. Where are these funds going to go for Corba?
Well, it's most of our operating budget for the year. It comes from that, and operating budget includes equipment for the trail crew, bikes for the Youth Adventures program. Expenses in doing advocacy work and sending people to meet with politicians and land managers. It's our biggest source of funds for the year. The other source, of course, is membership, and you can always become a member. And if you do become a member, you get an extra bonus of raffle tickets. So the raffle tickets normally sell for $1 each. You get some with your entry fee, but if you renew or become a member during the event, become a Corba member, you'll get an extra 10 raffle tickets, and it's a great way to give back.
Yeah, the significance of the raffle tickets cannot be overemphasized. It would probably pay you to even buy extra tickets because now, you will win good stuff.
Yes, you do. We see people buying 100 tickets and or more and walking away with swag.
$2,000 worth of stuff for $100, yeah.
But we're excited and very grateful to the cycling industry. They're the people who are donating these prizes and the equipment, and actually being out there and realizing that without groups like Corba out there keeping trails open, they wouldn't have mountain bikers to sell their products to. So what goes around comes around, and we're thankful to companies like REI and bike shops like Synergy and the people who do support what we do and understand how important it is.
Yeah, that's wonderful that the industry understands that, and that's great. Corba's doing a great job with that. So we're here with Bike Sport Radio, 213-252-0998, and we're here with Board of Directors member from Corba, Stephen Messer, talking about Corba and the importance of advocacy. It's a major fundraising event, Fat Tire Festival, coming up October 17th. So tell us a little about you, Stephen Messer. Tell us, I understand you worked with the city of Glendale on their trails plans. You actually worked directly with them. Tell us a little bit about your accomplishments there.
Yeah, we did. Glendale was a city with a lot of open space for a small-sized city. They own and manage part of the Verdugo Mountains and the San Rafael Hills and the foothills of Mount Lucans, which is an area they call Duke Majan Wilderness Park. And they had all this land, and they didn't have a trail plan. They had a bunch of trails that existed. They had some that were official, some that were unofficial, and we helped them map them out and come up with a plan to develop and link the existing trails. And one of the components that we suggested was having a mountain bike park, a skills park. Right now, that is in process. We're at the stage where we've got the land. The Parks and Rec Department, who we worked very closely with, have decided which piece of property they want to put it on, and it's right by the 2 freeway in the foothills. As you're driving north on the 2, you'll see it on the east side of the freeway there. And now we're waiting for the city itself to actually allocate the land so we can start on design and funding. But they're very proactive about and understand how important it is to get kids out on bikes. They have a great skate park and bikes aren't allowed on it because of the materials they used on the coping. So this whole...
You know, I think I heard the mayor of Glendale or maybe one of the council members at a recent event, the LA Riverite, I think she spoke and was very pro-bicyclist. And I want to quote her, if I can quote her exactly, I think she said something about the tyranny of the automobile is over. And everybody cheered and everything. And so that's certainly a pro-bike statement. That's awesome, skills park.
It is wonderful. And, you know, it's been a slow process. We've been at it for 2 years. But we're confident that something will happen. It just takes time. And politics moves at a tectonic rate sometimes.
Yes, an act of God is sometimes quicker than an act of Congress. The members of Glendale, citizens of Glendale out there that are listening, how can they prompt the city and contact and get involved to help speed this process along?
Well, once it comes up before city council, we'll have people out there trying to get people to the city to support the project.
Okay, so it'll be an outreach. Okay.
It'll be an outreach. We have someone up there from the LACBC, which Corba has a good relationship. Colin Bogart's up there with the Safe and Healthy Streets program, and he's very much involved with the city and has helped them move their bicycle infrastructure forward by leaps and bounds compared to the surrounding cities.
All right, way to go, Colin. Good job, Colin Bogart. With the city of Glendale. Anything else you want to add, Stephen, about Corba or the public, what they can do to keep active out there?
Well, I guess one of the most important things is to keep riding, keep being seen, and keep being being out there and enjoying being on the trails or on the street or pushing for bike lanes and bike infrastructure, whether it's off-road or on-road. I think getting people on bicycles, it's a lifelong sport. And that's the one thing that really impressed me going out to the Mountain Bike Nationals in Colorado, was to be there with families where the dad is racing, the mom is racing, the two kids are racing, and they're all training together. And there's very few sports that I know of that you can start in a high school league, which now exists. And once you end high school, it's very easy to continue on that sport. It's a lifelong and a life-changing sport.
Yeah, and I've always felt that it's been underrepresented in media particularly. And that's why we started Bike Sport Radio with Kill Radio. Kill Radio is all about representing the underrepresented. And here we are representing and supporting bicycling in all forms. And we can all get along together, whether you ride off-road or on-road. It's all good.
It is all good, and I'm just glad to be a part of it and to be able to give back.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in, Steve, and we'll look forward to the Corba Fat Tire Fest October 17th. There'll be more information about that at fattirefest.com. And Corba MTB, what's the website? Is Corba MTB?
And for ongoing issues and what we're doing politically and on the advocacy front and our programs, you can learn more at corbamtb.com. That's the Concerned Off-Road Bicyclists Association, and it's a non-profit, so if you do join or do donate, it's all tax-deductible. No one gets paid to do what we do. We do it because we love doing it, and we love being out and being able to ride our bikes. It's something we have to fight for and continue to be in the eyes of the land managers and politicians, and make sure that we're considered when these decisions are being made about how to allocate the land.
All right. Great job. Thanks, Stephen. Okay, so bike racing and race sounds we've got coming up. We've got a lot of sounds from the Cola Vita Grand Prix. We've got some interviews with some of the people and the movers and shakers up there in Northern Cal. Also, Southern California, we've got a lot of sounds from the San Marcos Masters Cycle League Finals. So sit back and enjoy some of the sounds of bike racing for the rest of our show. And a big thanks to Corba for coming in today. We're at the Cola Vita NorCal Grand Prix on Bike Sport Radio. I'm here with Pete, your announcer, who's calling the race. Let's hear Pete.
And here we have some guys in the 2-3 race and off the front right now. Again, another Metromin man. They've been very aggressive so far. That's Mark Fairman out of San Francisco, and then a huge group following him.
Mark Fairman on a little bit of attack there from Metromin. So how's the race going, Pete?
Well, it's going pretty well today. You know, we would like to have more spectators, but we got a lot of racers. A beautiful day here in Novato, California. A little bit of a breeze down the home straight, but not too bad. Really nice course. It's a long circuit for a Criterium, 1.1 miles. But
new pavement,
course.
Too. Yes. Nice pavement, nice clean straightaway, too. I love this long straightaway for sprinters, the Cavendish-safe type sprint. So the host club, who's the host club?
It's Cola Vita NorCal.
Okay, and they're a bike club based out of this area, Novato, San Francisco?
They're based out of the North Bay. Most of the riders living in Sonoma County, just to the north, but they've got guys from all around, Napa, Sonoma, Solano counties.
Righto. All right. We're on Bike Sport Radio. And Cola Vita's in olive oil, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And they have a professional team as well. But this is a subset of that team. This is not part of the actual Cola Vita professional cycling team.
Cool. Way cool. Amateur racing here at Novato at the Cola Vita NorCal Grand Prix with Bike Sport Radio. We'll be coming at you later with the Masters Cycle League coming up later today. Thanks, Pete.
Sure. You're welcome. Glad to have you.
Be off the front.
Just like this.
He's even freewheeling. Does he know it's a frame? Another frame lap. This is a frame and another one. Another frame immediately. That's number 220. And there's another frame. This is a frame lap. Frame lap riders. Frame lap.
We're still here at the Cola Vita NorCal Racing Grand Prix in Novato, and I'm here with Francesca.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're the volunteer coordinator for the National Multiple Sclerosis Society. Tell us a little bit about your involvement with the race today in the society.
Sure, thanks. I've been volunteering for the MS Waves to Wine bike ride for 3 years now, and now I'm here recruiting riders to come and join us the last weekend of September, the 25th and 26th. It's a two-day ride, 150 miles, and we start it in the city, in San Francisco at the UCSF Med Center. We ride across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and then over to the coast, and we ride up the coastline of the
freewheeling across to win that
frame. All right, and Waves to Wine, does that mean that there's wine at the finish?
Well, you know, there is, actually. Yeah, there is. We overnight in Ronan Park, and there's food, music, wine.
Nice job by Dana Williams.
Lots of assistance with mechanical, and actually a lot of the riders set up a little tent city for their overnight, and some stay in local hotels. And then the second morning, Sunday, we take off and we ride all the way up to Lake Sonoma for the finish line.
Oh, awesome.
Where there's more wine and food and music. And
very good. How
about
that?
Yeah, it's a great ride.
The MS-150. And how do we find out more about this ride?
So you go to www.waves2wine.org.
Waves2wine.org.
And that's the online registration, and we encourage everybody to check it out.
All right. Thank you very much, Francesca.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Cola Vita NorCal Grand Prix continues in Novato. Women's Category 3/4 racing right now. We're here with Bike Sport Radio. I'm here with Keith from Williams Wheels. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Having fun.
All right. So Williams Wheels is here for neutral support. Tell us a little bit about your wheels and your products.
They've got four more.
Well, we're a direct-to-consumer wheel company. Been around for about 4 years. We do a lot of neutral support up here in Northern California and occasionally get down to SoCal. We actually have an elite team down in Southern California that races the SoCal scene, and we try to get out and do some NRC stuff on the West Coast. Sometimes get out as far as Tulsa, etc. In fact, the boys are at Boise today, and then they're going to go right over to Cascade, I believe. So, yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's a good way for us to promote our brand.
Yeah, neutral support's awesome, too. These riders come in for mechanical, and they can get a wheel change and borrow one of your wheels. Can they also take one out for demo and race on it?
You know, I don't have any demos here, but we've got a team in Texas and a team in New England, and we do a lot of demo stuff out there. Right now, we just have the neutral support here.
All right, and how do we find out more about Williams Wheels? Website or...
Yeah, you'd go to www.williamscycling.com, and you can get just about all the information you would need to make a reasonable decision on a set of wheels.
Very good. Well, thanks for being out here, Keith, and supporting the Cola Vita Grand Prix. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.
One lap to go for the women.
This is the final lap of your race. One lap to go. One to go.
All right, the entire field all together.
That's Lisa Hearn leading the group through with one to go.
Lisa Hearn at the front on one lap to go in the women's category threes and fours.
As they're all moving across the road, trying to find a spot, it looks like Sodaro's on the front all the way from the corner.
Cola Vita here, Sodaro digging hard.
Digging hard there. She's going to have a challenge. Can she make it all the way through the line?
Woo.
And it looks like a couple of Dolce Vita women came up real close on her right at the end there.
So not only is Christine Sodaro, the Cola Vita rider, the winner of the race, I got to give her the most aggressive rider, Pito.
Well, boy, she certainly did a great job. It also looked like in second or third from Dolce Vita, Allison Cutler.
All right, that was the finish. Women's category threes and fours. And now we're here with the winner of the women's category three at the Cola Vita NorCal Grand Prix. And what's your name?
Christine Sodaro.
Christine Sodaro, congratulations. You were up there every lap, huh? The preem winning and everything?
Yeah, it was a fun course to race on. I enjoyed it. Good pavement.
Yeah, there were no breakaways, right? It was just a packed finish?
Yeah, it was a packed finish. It was kind of a small field, so it was kind of hard to get a breakaway going. I just wanted to see where the best sprint was and just play around a little bit and get some good riding in.
Was there anybody here that you feared most at all? You want to tell us about on Bike Sport Radio or how the competition was?
I'm always keeping my eye out for those trying to challenge me. I like to sprint that finish, and I don't really know sometimes who's out there. If they're an unknown rider, sometimes there's a good sprinter out there. I like to see what's out there.
All right, great course out here, thanks to Fireman's Fund. So anything you want to add for your sponsors or anything?
I very much enjoyed this course a lot. It's a good course, and I hope they keep it up.
All right, good job with your race. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
All right, they are off. They are off on 45 minutes here at the Cola Vita NorCal Grand Prix, the Masters Cycle League and MCL. Category 1s, 2s, and 3s, age 35 and over. All right, attention riders. Here's your first cream, next lap. First cream, this is a bag of pistachios and sports flats. Pistachios and sports flats. Wonderful pistachios and sports flats. To the leader of the next lap.
Cream lap, gentlemen. Cream lap. We also have our most aggressive rider.
For this first preem, leader for the first preem, Sports Flash and Pistachios. He's got a nice little gap. This will be an easy call. There's your winner of that preem right there. Whoa! And he almost loses it by sitting up early. 9:41, though. Hangs on for it. That's Corey Scobie, riding for Thirsty Bear Cycling out of Pleasanton.
Preem lap.
Five to go. That's EFS energy drink to the leader of the breakaway.
Cream lap, gentlemen. Cream lap.
And sports flash and pistachios to the Peloton. Two place cream.
Maybe up there. Let's check over there.
We can't have any.
I wish I had some, Renee. I wish I had some. I drink some, but I don't.
No alcohol here.
So that gap, Brad, certainly was coming down.
It's doomed. I think it's over for that break, huh? What do you think, Peter?
Well, they got one chance, and it's when they come around. If they've grown the gap, I'll give them a chance. If the gap is where it is or any smaller, I agree with you. They're done.
Definitely entertaining aggressive racing today, though. First time today by the Masters, 35-plus ones, twos, and threes. Lots of attacks, lots of breakaway attempts, and failed attempts, too.
So LeGros do a preem of, well, we're giving away the merchandise on this lap. Merchandise, a two-place preem. It's going to be Pistachios and Sports Splash, and also EFS drink. And then we're going to give away MCL points to lead our next lap. So here we go. MCL points. Master Cycle League points to the leader's next lap. MCL points. Leader's next lap.
So Gordon Stanley all over the premium prizes there. 963 and 964.
And Master Cycle League points. 2 points to leader next lap and 4 laps to go. MCL teams only. 2 points to leader next lap.
Thank you.
Energy drink to the leader next lap. And who's going to get the MCL points for this lap? MCL teams only. Master Cycle League.
Preem lap, gentlemen.
And also preem lap. This is a preem lap for the leader of the lap for the next lap. EFS energy drink to leader next lap. EFS energy drink to leader next lap. And 3 laps to go.
Wow, Rick Pepper.
How about that? The cobra, or the, what do you call the coral snake. Rick Pepper on the attack at 1 lap to go.
Pre-recorded. We're here with the Northern Cal Cola Vita Grand Prix, the Master Cycle League Series Finals, and I'm here with
Michael O'Rourke
and
Greg Bitani.
Greg Bitani, Michael, congratulations, guys, on winning the MCL for Northern Cal, the inaugural, first ever. It was hot out here today, huh? And how'd you guys do in the pack?
It was a good race. Mike was first in the 45-1-2-3, and I was first in the
35-1-2-3. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's good being 50 and winning the kids' races.
50 years old. Racing. Wow.
Yep.
Great job. So hope to see you out here next year. We plan to continue the MCL in 2011 also.
Good. When do we get to race head-to-head with the SoCal guys for the overall?
You know, this isn't the first time you've asked, actually. They've asked too. They want to come up here and kick your butts.
The Giro is a Masters square off SoCal, NorCal now. They're going to have a 35 and 45 race.
Oh, sweet.
Bill Nicely's putting that together through NCNCA.
Do you know when that is?
Whenever the Giro date is, I think it's Labor Day.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh,
yeah,
it's usually fantastic. Labor Day. Okay, because the Southern Cal's got the Amgen UBS Elite Masters team, and they've got some good guys on there.
Oh, yeah. So, every time I look back going across the line, I see the blue. That was for you, DeMarkey.
Chris DeMarkey, he's out there. He's listening on Bike Sport Radio. Thanks, Greg. Congratulations, Greg and Mike. Good job, guys.
Thank you.
You guys go for the race win. 13-14,
San
Marcos,
Bike
Arena.
Diego!
357, Efren Flores. G.S. Adams Avenue Bicycles, 14 years of age. Our unofficial winner, San Marcos, Bike Arena. On the 13-14.
1 lap to go, the juniors.
Everyone now, just 1 lap to go. Starting on. Moving on, 1 lap to go.
We got 3.
All right, here is the finish of the juniors, junior girls.
Mo has bridged. She's swinging off.
Gonna be going 1 lap to go, as long as we don't knock each other down. 1 lap to go, no swerving. There we go. 1 lap to go. Line it up.
Last lap.
Here we go. 15-16. Who's gonna take it? 4-9-5. Our unofficial winner today, Michael Kreitzer.
Sorry.
Judy Miss. 15-16, 4-9-5.
Bike Sport Radio is here at the San Marcos Circuit Race, and I'm here with
Jet Tanner.
Jet Tanner, tell us about Tanner cycling, or is it called jet cycling?
It is called jet cycling.
Right. And we got Millie here too.
So. Yeah, Millie Goat's here. Jet cycling really is a program that's dedicated towards junior racing. So there are really 3 aspects of jet cycling that are very important to us as a club. The first part is the reason why we all get together is cycling. And cycling is our means of getting together and having fun and enjoying the time out here in Southern California. But really there are 2 other aspects of our club that are very important to us as well. The second part is through education. So we adhere to an education rule that we have to have a minimum of 2.8 grade point average to be part of the team.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so also, and part of that is that we also help athletes get the opportunity to get scholarships through cycling. So we work with universities and colleges across the United States that have cycling programs to get good athletes into those programs. As a solid athlete coming in through our group or through us in one way or another. So education is a very big part of what we do. But the third aspect of it is community service work. And we do community service with the John Wayne Cancer Foundation through Team Duke.
Oh, yeah.
So Team Duke is very big and important to us. So as a requirement for all of our athletes, we have to have a minimum of two presentations a year, towards one towards their school, and the second part towards a networking group. It could be Rotary, Toastmasters, 4-H, you know, any, it doesn't matter, any one of those groups that would like to have someone come and not only talk about cycling, what it means, and to bring awareness to cancer, but also about what it means to them to be athletes. And so Millie Gutt spends most of her time, she does about 10 to 15 presentations a year to networking groups, as well as you know, going out there and talking about cancer awareness and bringing awareness just to what she does as a female cyclist.
Very good. And we got Millie here also. How'd you do in your race today, Millie?
I got second.
Woohoo!
Which is great for the last race of the season for me.
Is this the last race?
It is for me.
You're going to take some time off, huh?
I think I might do some cyclocross. Have a little fun, get a little muddy.
Get muddy, get dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good change of pace, definitely. All right, all right. And how many years have you been racing now?
I've been racing 5 years now.
5 years?
Yep, it's been a great 5 years.
Major accomplishments you want to talk about? Something major happening so far?
I won two state championships this year. And in 2008, I also won two state championships.
Wow.
And I placed six times at Nationals.
Very good.
Podium.
Very good. Well, we'd love to get you guys in the studio maybe someday. And tell us more how you find out more about the John Wayne Cancer Foundation.
Yeah, if they go to teamduke.org. And any, yeah, the great thing about the Team Duke is that anybody out there can be a Team Duke athlete. Doesn't matter what sport you play. Doesn't matter what you do. You could be play cricket. You could run. You could bike. You can be a swimmer. It does not matter. It's just as long as you want to help bring the awareness to cancer. And you sign on. It's actually free through the website to be a Team Duke athlete. And they'll send you out a jersey of your choice to help represent, but they just want to bring awareness and help out. And also they have programs to help raise money. If you're going to do an event, like a 5K where you're going to raise money, you can raise it for the John Wayne Cancer Foundation.
Very good.
Everybody can go to the site, donate their money, and then all the money that you receive gets donated towards the center. Part of our charter is Jet Cycling, and all of our sponsors give $25 to for every win that our athlete accomplishes throughout the year.
To the foundation?
Yes, to the foundation.
Nice.
In the name of that athlete. So Miller was able to raise close to $1,500 this year.
Nice.
In sponsorship money directed right directly to the gentleman.
And then how do we find out more about Jet Cycling?
Jet Cycling is very easily. They can contact me directly through jet@jetcycling.com, or they can go to our multiple websites. We have jetcycling.com, which is one. You can go to 4Cycling, which is our nonprofit arm of Jet Cycling. It's the number 4, and then cycling.wordpress.com.
4Cycling.wordpress.com.
Yeah, and we do a lot of video blogging, so it's easy to see.
Nice.
And we do spotlights on our athletes, spotlights on our sponsors. And then you can also go to milligoat.wordpress.com.
Milligoat.
Yeah,
and milligoat.com.
Cool.
Link you straight to the blog.
Yeah, so our whole thing is about, you know, when we're in cycling, we always have this opportunity to get sponsorships. And we really want to give back to our sponsors, help bring awareness, whether it be through Spinergy or through Pactimo, Swiftwick, Northwave, Hammer Nutrition, all those people that help us. Yeah, we really want to give back to them.
All right.
So we spend a lot of time doing really good
quality
videos.
There you go. Hear that, sponsors. You guys are all on Bike Sport Radio. All right. Anything else you want to add to the end of the Millie?
Yeah, I would like to add one thing. I encourage anybody out there, any parent who has a daughter, we need to get more females into the sport. And any way that we could do that, yeah, juniors at that, bring them out
and
race. I'm hoping next year, if I'm able to raise the money that I'm able to do, I'll have free bikes for women who want to race.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's my goal, is to get more women out here.
All right. Well, keep up the good work, Jet, with Jet Cycling, and congratulations, and keep up the good racing, Millie. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We're here at the San Marcos Criterium on Bike Sport Radio. I'm here with Hannah. What's your last name?
Swan.
Hannah Swan. All right. Congratulations. You're a state champion?
Yes.
What race did you win?
I won Barrio Logan.
Barrio Logan Criterium, right?
Yes.
All right. And how did that race unfold for you? Was it a breakaway, big pack, or how'd you feel in the race? You know?
I actually, about halfway through, I was 20 seconds back.
and I had to work my way back up solo.
Really?
Yeah, I was on the last lap.
Really? Wow. And you worked your way through the pack, and then was it a big pack sprint? Or?
No, it was just a 1v1 sprint.
Cool. Very cool.
Against the Millie Goat.
Against the Millie Goat.
Got her at the line.
Yeah. All right. And how'd you do today?
Pretty good, yeah. I got first.
You won?
Yeah.
That's pretty good, yeah. Good job, Hannah. All right, good job with the race. You'll be on Bike Sport Radio. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Our radio's here with Anywhere Bicycle Repair now out of San Diego, and I'm here with...
Stu Klott, owner and operator of Anywhere Bicycle Repair.
Cool. This looks like an up-and-coming thing. Anywhere means you're mobile, or tell us about it a little bit.
Yeah, it specializes in going to people's houses and place of business and repairing their bike.
So when you're out there in the field and you get a flat or a mechanical, maybe we could even call you too?
Yeah, right now it's just my solo self, so it is a little harder to do that sort of thing, but it is coming.
In the San Diego area, right?
Yeah, I got that working, so it'll be a AAA service
coming. That's cool.
Yeah, so I would like to place that in probably about a year or two. It'll be full effect.
Okay.
But now it's just pretty much scheduling appointments and when everybody's...
Right. Going to the homes is cool, too, because a lot of people have a bike or two hanging in their garage and they might have a flat or whatever. They don't have a car transport method to get the bike down to get it fixed. So,
And so sometimes people want to watch the repair and they want to learn something so they can stand and hang out. And
right.
They get to talk to the mechanic.
Right.
And they get that personal feel.
So this is awesome. So there's probably literally thousands of bicycles out there hanging in somebody's garage with spiderwebs and cobwebs, and you can go out and encourage these people to get that fixed and fix it for them, huh?
Yeah. I got a lot of people that just want their bike clean all the time. You know, every couple months I'm out there. Just
cleaning, okay.
Oh, yeah, full tune-ups, everything.
Now, your banner says lessons also?
Yeah.
Is that balancing or handling or coaching or how?
Anything they want. Mainly it's repair lessons.
Okay.
Yeah, they want all different things to do, anywhere from change a flat to tune up their whole bike.
Very good. That's very useful.
Yeah,
all right. And how do we find out more about you guys?
You go to anywherebicyclerepair.com.
Anywherebicyclerepair.com. Okay.
And then everything's on there. Right. And I'm there. Email or call. All the information's on the website.
Okay. Cool. Anything else you want to add?
Good luck to all the racers out there, and ride on.
Right here at the San Marcos Criterium with Anywhere Bicycle Repair. Thanks, Stu.
Thank you.
Category for finish.
Who's going to be the champion of Category 4 with San Marcos? Looks like it's going to be Yellow Shoes. 6-6-2. David Robertson. Our unofficial champion, David Robertson, the unofficial winner of the San Marcos Criterium.
David Robertson, Category 4.
Keep the track clear. These guys are going to be finishing for the next 2 minutes.
We got the men's Category 3 race going on right now at the San Marcos Criterium with one rider way off the front, about almost a minute lead, and then about a 9 second gap to Major Motion's Ben Berdiger, who looked like he was about to close the gap, because then there was a huge gap to the pack of almost another 25 seconds, 30 seconds as well. So let's see what happens on this lap when they come up the hill. There's your leader, and Ben Berdiger is right on him. Look at this. Berdiger, Major Motion, is about to bridge up with this leader, two-man breakaway. Anthony in the front there in the yellow going by. That's right. Go, Ben! You got him, Ben!
Come on, Ben.
Yeah, and Berdiger out of the saddle over the top of the hill, and it looks like he's going to catch on him on the downhill in the men's Category 3. Men's Category 3 breakaway, Ben Berdiger has caught the leader. So we got two riders now up the road in the Category 3. 23 minutes to go now, and Berdiger and Andrew are off the front. Here they are, 22 and a half minutes to go.
22 minutes to go. Here's
the two Ralph calls it. Oh, and the pack has gotten through. He's got around. The pack is close to catching him now. Yeah, it's looking like the breakaway is over.
Lose contact now, it's over.
Category 3 field, it looks like the breakaway has been caught. Yeah, and the entire field's all together. Swami's on the attack. Swami's with a little bit of a gap, about 10 bike lengths and 3 laps to go.
It's 2 laps to go. Cat 3, Steve Swami's working the front with 2 laps to go.
All right, look at this. Swami's has a bigger gap now, but 20. Chris Burnell, a 20 bike length gap. 2 laps to go.
Time to take a drink. Final go round is the bell lap. Category 3 is coming at it. 1 lap to go.
All right, they've caught. Everybody's all together now. Entire field, 1 lap to go.
Ball lap has begun. Category 3. Look at these cat threes, they're so equal. 4-0-4. Anthony Cataveri.
Anthony Cataveri. In a field sprint win.
Good job, the threes, Chris Early.
Category 3s. Kids race, San Marcos.
These guys, legs speak for sure.
About a cadence of 200 RPM almost, that poor little guy.
Great ride by the two-wheelers. Two-wheeler dealers.
All right, there's the whistle. Masters 35+ and Masters Cycle League Finals is on at the San Marcos Criterium. Brought to you by Rancho Cycling.
Attention riders, Masters 35+, chain oil and Titan bars to the leader next lap. Chain oil, and Titan bars, cream lap to the next lap. This is a cream lap merchandise cream of chain oil and Titan energy bars to the leader of the next lap.
And there they are, Kevin Phillips, Mark Shimahara, and 2 other riders. And this is a Preem Lap merchandise. Preem, Chanel Oil, and Titan Bars goes to Kevin Phillips right there. And also 42 and another rider, Mike Onkels, in that little breakaway. And also rider number 21, George Manuin from Santa Clarita Velo in that little break. All right, attention riders, Masters Cycle League points only. 2 Masters Cycle League points, 2 points. For Masters Cycle League. 2 points to the leader next lap. 2 points to the leader next lap. Masters Cycle League points to the leader next lap. Points for Masters Cycle League teams only. 2 points to the leader of the next lap for Masters Cycle League teams only. It's going to be Amgen picking up 2 more points for the Masters Cycle League. Yep, there it is, number 32, driving that breakaway. Christy Markey picks up 2 points for the Masters Cycle League. All right, attention riders, a Micro Tool and Coolant Fit to the leader next lap. Micro Tool and Coolant Fit, Micro Tool and Coolant Fit to the leader of the next lap. Preem lap, Micro Tool and Coolant Fit to the leader next lap.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Merchandise Preem, Micro Tool and Coolant Fit going to the leader of this lap. Who is going to pick up that Preem? Micro Tool and Coolant Fit goes to number 42. From Amgen UBS Elite Masters, Michael Johnson.
Then we have the butt.
Okay, 2 Masters Cycle League points going to the leader of this lap. Who's going to pick up the 2 points? Is it going to be Amgen or is it going to be California Pools DeWalt? It is California Pools DeWalt, 16. James Stark picks up 2 points for his team. Take a look down on Twin Oaks. DeMarkey has opened up the gap even more. He's got about a 30 bike length gap into that headwind on Twin Oaks. DeMarkey bringing home the win in one of the finest ways possible, it looks like, if he can hang on to it. Christy Markey, rounding turn 3, way off the front of this breakaway solo. Christy Markey, Amgen, UBS Elite Masters. All right, this looks like chase group number 1. 1 lap to go. 1 to go for you guys. 1 lap to go. And 1 lap to go for these riders also. 1 lap to go. Rider number 33 and 27, that is Richard Pego, hanging on for dear life to Andy Brown from California Pools DeWalt. And another small chase group. Look at this. The group breaking up into small chase groups. 1 lap to go. 1 to go. Swami's driving the lead in that. That is Chris Daggs from Swami's at 1 lap to go.
One to go, also for show air there, Mike Onkels. And the rest of the pack, one lap to go. There they are, one lap to go. The Masters 35s, one to go. Team Cliff Bar setting the pace up front. We saw him earlier in the breakaway, Mike Shimohara. Team Cliff Bar cycling at one lap to go. Okay, and put your hands together. Is this our winner? It is. Christy Markey looking back. There ain't nobody back there, Chris. Way to go. Team manager and captain of the Amgen UBS Elite Masters, Christy Markey, bringing home the win. And making it a 1-2 is Amgen's rider number 42, Mike Johnson, followed very closely by James Stark in a fine ride in the breakaway, riding for California Pools DeWalt. And breakaway instigator right here. Congratulations, Kevin Phillips, who instigated that breakaway, riding for Ironfly, Kevin Phillips, unofficially fourth place.
Awesome finish there up by Christy Markey at the Masters Cycle League Finals in San Marcos. He rolled away from a four-man breakaway solo to a solo win. Incredible. So, we'd like to thank everybody for listening today to Bike Sport Radio and hope you enjoyed our show with our guest from Corba. And get involved in advocate issues. We always encourage that all the time. And when you're out there on the street, drive your bike just like you would a car. We'll see you next time on Bike Sport Radio. Just